biblical understanding. Sometimes the most foundational, even elementary topics can be difficult to understand. So how do we grab a spiritual understanding to these things that are so crucial to our relationship with Christ? Welcome to Transforming Conversations with Pastor Rock Dilliman. With over 30 years of ministry, preaching, and biblical study, Pastor Rock discusses biblical topics that bring them into a fresh new light that is easy to understand and apply to our lives. And now, your host for another Transforming Conversation, Greg Hughes.
Welcome back to another Transforming Conversation. Thank you for joining us again today. And Pastor Rock, I don't have a scripture per se that I'd like to discuss.
Well, that's a problem, isn't it?
Kind of defeats the point. But there is a topic that I recently have bumped up against, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on. While I was living in Georgia, I befriended a guy that I worked with. He was in the youth group that I had worked with at the church. And recently, this past Monday, I had learned that he had taken his own life. And don't know all the details, the ins and outs of the whole situation. I haven't spoke with him probably a good 6 months, 8 months, something like that. So I don't know where he was in life, his marriage, his kids, his job. I don't know. This whole week, that's all that's been running in my mind. Not so much death itself, but what is Scripture? How do we navigate this with Scripture? From what I know about this gentleman, he was a great person, loved his family, loved his children, above board in treating people, a hard worker, good ethics, loved Jesus, faithful church member. But once this was in my face, I have no clue what Scripture says about this.
Okay.
And I'd love to hear your thoughts.
Sure. Well, it's interesting that you're mentioning this at this time, because at the time of this recording, my teaching for the soon upon us weekend has to do with Elijah, the prophet, and the darkest hour of his life, that moment when, after an incredible faith victory, calling down fire from heaven, having the prophets of pagan gods executed, he was threatened by Queen Jezebel, who said, "I'm going to take you out if it's the last thing I do." And he fled and hid and said, "It's enough. Take my life." He wanted to die.
Yeah, we can't script this. Wow.
And so there was one of the mightiest prophets of God caught in the vice-like grip of despair, where he despaired of the future and despaired of life itself. And while he didn't take his own life, he asked God to do it for him.
Right.
So he was suicidal in that moment. I think it's fair to say, when you knew the power of God like Elijah knew the power of God, asking God to take you out is pretty much akin to putting the gun to your head. I mean,
that's right.
Again, he had just asked God to send fire from heaven and witnessed it.
Right.
So when he said, "Take me out," I think he was expecting God to answer. He was accustomed to dramatic answers to prayer.
Yeah.
So that's why I say it was essentially a suicidal moment in his life. And if a prophet like Elijah can reach that point, any Jesus follower can reach that point. There are people, let me back up a little bit and say, Scripture doesn't speak in any focused, protracted fashion to the topic of suicide. So whenever that's the topic on the table, we're left, as we are with many other topics, to look at the totality of Scripture and broader stroke principles in Scripture that would inform our response to suicide.
Right.
Because you can't go to chapter and verse. Now, somebody listening might say, oh, wait a minute. Bible says, he who destroys the body, I will destroy, says the Lord. That's in one of Paul's Corinthian letters.
Right.
Has nothing to do with suicide.
Context.
Nothing, nothing, nothing. Yes, right. Context, context, context. It's talking about destroying the unity of the body of Christ and destroying, if you will, the body of Christ.
Right.
Not suicide. It's not what God's talking about there. He's talking about the body of Christ, not somebody destroying their own body.
Right.
So suicide as a topic, that's why I say, isn't directly addressed. You can't go to chapter and verse. Does it lie outside the perfect will of God? Well, of course it does.
Right.
Because to take your own life means that you are usurping the sovereignty of God in the matter of your own death.
Right.
You're taking that out of God's hands.
Right.
Putting that into your own hands. And that, we know, violates submission to the total lordship of Christ in every venue of life. Mm. So that, we know, you're usurping God's authority.
Right.
And is that a sin? Yes, that's a sin. But I would hasten to add, every one of us every day is probably usurping God's authorities in ways we don't even recognize and ways we sometimes do recognize.
Right.
And that's sin, but we don't fall out of the kingdom every time that happens.
Amen.
Remember, 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves. The truth is not in us.
Right.
But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive. So, is suicide a sin? Yes. Not in a God, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do it kind of a way, but in a I've despaired of hope, I can't do this anymore, or as Elijah said, it's enough.
Right.
Kind of a way. And so I don't see it as a fist in God's face, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But more a horrible, tragic resignation, just unable to see hope,
right.
Unable to see light at the end of the tunnel, which obviously that's where your friend and acquaintance was. He could not see light at the end of the tunnel. If he saw it, he would have kept going.
Right.
Okay? So is it a sin? Yes. But we all sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, when you're talking about suicide, somebody will always bring up, well, you quoted 1 John. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. But when you take your life, you don't have a chance to confess it.
Well, that's
you're
right.
You're gone.
Yeah.
So you're dying with an unforgiven sin.
Right.
Excuse me. I think every one of us is going to die with sins we have not confessed. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, really.
Yeah.
Every day, believers commit sins we don't even recognize.
Right. Yeah.
So we don't confess them.
Right.
And we don't even confess the ones we always do recognize. I mean, somebody cut you off in traffic and you say something you wouldn't say in church.
Sure.
And immediately you know in your spirit, oh, that's not what God wants of me.
Right.
But do you always, without fail, immediately go to the Lord and say, God, that was wrong. Please forgive me.
Right.
I don't think so.
No. No.
And again, there are other sins we don't even recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Our complicity in materialism.
Wow.
Individualism.
Right.
Racism.
Yeah.
Mm. So if the idea is, oh, somebody commits suicide, that's a sin. They didn't have a chance to ask for forgiveness. And again, it's a goofy way of thinking, but I've heard it.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're dying with unforgiven sin, unconfessed sin.
Unconfessed, right.
I think all of us are going to die with unconfessed sin. And I'm not laughing because the unconfessed sin is a light matter. It's because I find that line of reasoning laughable.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, are you going to suggest to me that somebody like the Apostle Paul could lay his life on the line for Jesus and endure beatings with rods and shipwrecks and serpent bites and imprisonments and ridicule and assassination attempts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then just before he died, said a harsh word, didn't have a chance to ask for forgiveness, and died on the spot of a heart attack. That he's going to hell?
Yeah, all that's null and void now.
Yep.
Yep.
Please.
Yeah.
Sometimes Christians need to listen to what they're suggesting and say, whoa, that's silly.
Yeah.
So let's throw out the, it's a sin and it wasn't confessed. It had a finality to it.
Right.
And let's acknowledge that every one of us has got to die with unrecognized and unconfessed sins. So that suicide, while a sin, doesn't nullify salvation in Jesus.
Amen. Right? Amen.
Another thing that people hint at is that somebody moving in the fullness of the Spirit, and you have to say it funny like that in order for it to be effective in some people's thinking, would never come to that point.
Hmm.
I think Elijah moved in the fullness of the Holy Spirit.
I would think. Hmm.
Oh, but Pastor Rock, he was Old Covenant. They didn't have the abiding Spirit like we do in the New Covenant. Okay, I get that. But the Spirit of God was upon Elijah.
Yes, it was.
He knew God's voice.
Mm-hmm.
He prophesied to a nation. He raised a widow's son from the dead. He multiplied her food resources miraculously.
Right.
He performed 16 distinct miracles.
Wow.
He didn't taste death. He was taken to heaven alive. He has a future role to play in eschatology, according to the Lord Jesus.
Right.
He appeared at the Mount of Transfiguration.
Mm.
You got to tell me. He didn't move in the fullness of the Holy Spirit when he said, Lord, it's enough. Take my life.
Right.
Again, listen to yourself.
Yeah. Come on.
Put a cork in it.
Right.
No. Even a Spirit-anointed prophet can reach the point of despair.
Hmm. That's right.
Do we have to? No, I would never say we have to. But we experience a lot of things we don't have to.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we see us through a glass darkly. Because we have this treasure in earthen vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all sin.
That's right.
So a believer, filled with the Spirit, for a host of reasons you and I perhaps can't understand, could come to a place where they despaired. If you say, how could you trust God and despair? Well, let me back it up a little bit. Could you trust God and get discouraged?
Sure.
Everybody'd say, oh, yeah.
Our last conversation.
Could you trust God and entertain doubt?
Our last conversation.
Even doubt about, is this all real?
Right.
Is God real? Mm-hmm. Is the whole salvation thing real? Is the Bible real? Is Jesus with me? Is that real?
Mm-hmm.
Could you be Spirit-filled and entertain doubt? Well, could you be Spirit-filled and get depressed? Lots of believers battle depression.
Sure.
Well, if you could be Spirit-filled and get discouraged, Spirit-filled and doubt, Spirit-filled and depressed, you're 90% of the way towards despair.
Yeah.
Because you don't jump from expectation to despair in a moment.
Right.
Discouragement moves in. It engenders some doubts. That can lead to depression. When that fire begins to burn, it can get fanned by self-pity.
Right.
And suddenly, you're at a point of despair. Maybe even despair of life itself. Is it common that believers get to that point? No, it's still a rarity, thank God. But it is it a possibility? Yes. Is it the unforgivable sin? No.
Amen.
Does it jeopardize salvation because you didn't have a chance to confess it? No.
Right.
So can a believer despair? Yes. Do they have to? No. But can they? Yes. Is it the unforgivable sin? No. Does it rob them of their eternal salvation? No. Now, again, timing. You're mentioning this within a week or two of a very visible sort of, I hate the term, but celebrity young pastor in America who took his life and left a wife and a couple of children. And that's got a lot of play, and it's caused a lot of people to do some soul searching about the church and how often do we have people inclined that way in our midst and we don't know it.
Right.
I don't think we have tons of people inclined that way, but I've known people to take their own life within the body of Christ. Not many, but I've known it. And so I think the takeaway is to remind ourselves that many times fellow believers who outwardly give the appearance of being okay aren't okay.
That's right.
And we need to be more conscious and careful. Careful that we don't assume a smile means everything's okay with them.
That's right.
Cautious about making those kind of assumptions. And more careful to occasionally say to somebody, you doing okay? And when they say, yeah, respond with, really? Are you really doing all right?
Yeah.
So I would say while your friend taking his life is a tragedy, there's no way of spinning that. That's a tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a tragedy. And one of the enduring tragedies of it, it's not only the hardship for his widow and children, but the fact that studies have shown if somebody in a family takes their life, often impressionable children assume that's something you do or something our family does, if you will.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a tragedy, but doesn't mean he didn't know Jesus.
That's right.
And it doesn't mean he's not with Jesus today.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. So when God said, he who destroys the body, I will destroy, he wasn't talking about suicide.
Yeah.
And if Elijah can get to the point of despair, safe to say any believer can get to the point of despair. Unavoidable? No. But does it happen? Again, a lot of us engage things that aren't unavoidable.
Right.
But we find ourselves there anyhow.
Mm. Yeah, those are such comforting words, and I'm sure though we all know people that have done this.
Mm-hmm.
That have
my brother-in-law,
is that right?
Mm-hmm.
But to know that that's not nullifying his salvation, that
right.
is sending him to a Christless
suicide
eternity.
Suicide is not a trump card. Don't trump your salvation.
Right.
Don't trump everything else that God has done in your life.
Yeah, it's still horrifically tragic that it happens, but it does soften a little the edges knowing that his salvation's still intact. He is with Jesus, and we will rejoice together again.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. That's the believer's blessed hope, and that hope doesn't go out the window when death occurs in a way that God would not ordain.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Insight. It is reassuring.